Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Yes, welcome. It's Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. I'm Jesse. Before we get started, I want to acknowledge that this program and all of CJSF's programming is produced on the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples, who have been here since time immemorial. Today on the program, we've got our usual mix of music and talk, a couple stories by me, something by Danny, maybe a live interview if that ends up happening. But of course, we will start, as we always do, with a little bit of local music. I also want to talk, last night we, CJSF, we threw our, to my knowledge, first ever, but certainly first in memory, stand-up comedy show here at the Sub. That was lots of fun. Bit of a weird venue for stand-up comedy. Not a basement or a nightclub, but just the main sub-stage area here at the Student Union Building. And it was a lot of fun. We had former CJSFer Paria sort of put it together and MC, and had, sets from her and five other comedians. Had laughs. There was some awkward banter, as there always is, and I think everybody had a real good time. So thanks to everybody who came by. Thanks to everybody who participated. And we did record it, but it's a little blue, so we'll see. Maybe some of it will make its way onto the airwaves in an edited form. We'll find out. But that's just something I wanted to mention. We've been really trying to activate the Student Union Building over the last semester, particularly doing karaoke and this comedy event. We've got plans to do concerts to really bring some life back onto campus, which, hey, what a concept. Okay, we're going to just get into the musical portion of things. And this is a great song by a great band. We're local. It's called The Way We Used to Be by Self Care.
calls her friends, doesn't know where she is. Shopping carts through the streets, I swear it's the only way it should be seen.
By Self-Care here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse, and the first story I want to share with you today is, well, I had the chance yesterday to go to a advanced preview of a new exhibit at the Museum of Anthropology at UBC, way out at the entire opposite end of the lower mainland. I got to take the bus all the way from UBC to SFU yesterday, as an aside. The new exhibit is called Entangled Territories, Tibet Through Images, and it opens today, November 20th, and runs until March 29th. There's an opening event tonight at 7 o'clock, but the exhibit is now open, and you can check it out, and I highly recommend it. It's curated by Dr. Huyubi Nakamura, who's the curator of the Asian collection at the Museum of Anthropology and an associate professor at the UBC Department of Asian Studies. But she collaborated with the Tibetan Canadian community, including some sort of elementary or secondary age students who are currently learning Tibetan, the Tibetan language and dance and culture at Tibetan language schools, as well as a couple Tibetan-Canadian artists. And the exhibit, really, really great. I mean, everything at the Museum of Anthropology is really amazing and gives me goosebumps to just be in that space and see all the things that are collected there and the really good job they've done of presenting and just sort of respectfully showing off all of the really interesting things there and using it to teach. But this exhibit, this exhibition, it's varied. It's called, as I said, Entangled Territories, Tibet Through Images. And so there are a bunch of photographs. There's also more traditional sort of like artifacts, as it were. There's a couple short films, and just, you know, all sorts of really interesting stuff. Some ceremonial garb that is from the descendants of the 13th Dalai Lama, the 10th Dalai Lama. And then also a big part of the exhibition is given over to the works of Tibetan-Canadian artist Lodo Lara, who is of mixed Tibetan and British Columbian heritage, now lives in Toronto. But there are a number of photographs that she made, she took, of herself and her father at a monastery in Tibet, as well as this really cool diptych. Is that what it is? Well, it's two images, but two separate photographs called Colonizer Colonized that are sort of a portrait of herself in a room, and one of them is filled with sort of artifacts of her Tibetan heritage, and the other is full of artifacts of her British Columbian or sort of more English heritage. And yeah, really, really cool. But the I suppose centerpiece, a real political work that is really, really moving and really astounding to see, is it's called 169, which features hand-printed portraits of the 169 people who have self-immolated in the past few decades in protest of the conditions inside Tibet and beyond. And these portraits are made from an ink that is made from the ashes of incense burned at memorials for these 169 people who have self-immolated in protest. And to be in the room and to see that and to see all of their names on the wall and these beautiful, poignant, visceral portraits of these people who gave their life for what they truly believed in is really something you have to see. So I really highly recommend going in and checking out this exhibit, which runs, as I said, from today until March of 2026 at the Museum of Anthropology at UBC. It's called Entangled Territories, Tibet Through Images. And when you go, you know, you pay for your admission to the museum and you get to see that exhibit and also everything else at the museum. I had the chance to chat briefly with Dr. Fuyubi Nakamura, who was a curator of this exhibit, as I mentioned. And so I'm going to share that with you right now.
My name is Fuyubi Nakamura. I'm the curator for this exhibition, Entangled Territories, Tibet Through Images. I'm the curator for Asia at the Museum of Anthropology and also associate professor in the Department of Asian Studies at UBC.
Why did you pick this subject for the exhibition?
When I started thinking about doing an exhibition on Tibet, I actually have a quite long-term engagement with Tibet culture, I should say. I went to Dharamshala in India 30 years ago, back in 1995. So my interest in Tibetan culture started back then. I did lots of research in Tibet as a graduate student. And when I came here, my Tibetan colleagues, I asked, what kind of exhibition should we do about Tibet? As I mentioned, he wanted me to engage with younger generation of Tibetan so that they also learn about Tibetan culture heritage. That's why the idea for this exhibition came about. So it's not necessarily exhibition about Tibet from my own perspective, but it's from the Tibetan's perspective that is the focus of this show.
What did working with young Tibetans teach you? Like, what did you learn from that experience?
You know, as a university professor, I always work with relatively young, you know, students, but they are much younger. So it was quite challenging to begin with because they are not even used to using email, for example. Communication was a bit of a challenge. But once they came to the museum to see the collection together, they were so excited because they have never actually seen anything like those robes in their life either. They never been to Tibet. They are born in like India or Nepal or somewhere else before they migrated to Canada. So it was very, you know, gratifying for me to see them engage with their own culture heritage.
Do you know how large the Tibetan Canadian community is?
So I think overall, the last census done in 2021, I think it was a bit below 10,000. Okay. So it's not a large community. A larger community of Tibetan are actually in Toronto. Toronto have a little Tibet. In the location called Park Tel, there is a little Tibet with a Tibetan shop and restaurant. So Vancouver community is much smaller. I think about 700, so it's much smaller.
Okay.
In Tibet, they have like nearly 7,000, so it's very different link. I don't know why Toronto, but sometimes it's
further away. I don't know, but yeah. Interesting.
This is a Tibetan Cultural Society of British Columbia. I think they have about 150 active members. So they are supporting this Tibetan language school.
Yeah, I was somewhat surprised to hear that there are Tibetan language schools here.
Yeah, so because two Tibetan monasteries, one in Richmond, one in Vancouver.
Okay.
And so that's why the language schools are not just language, but like dance lessons, and those things happen on the weekend.
Right.
That's why I've been visiting to see those students. A kind of side story, but one in Vancouver is down the off the Granby Street on Agnew Street. Across this Tibetan monastery is a Chinese consulate.
Yeah.
But this monastery building was actually donated by the local Chinese Canadian family.
Cool.
So local Chinese Canadian family seems to be supportive of Tibet, but they let China for different reasons too, right?
Of course.
But it's a different story from Chinese government or Chinese coming
people.
From China, but the local community seems to be supportive.
Well, that's good.
So, but it's the location is quite interesting. Like, oh, Chinese country there. And
yeah.
With the monastery there.
It's surprising, but it feels almost appropriate, right?
I like know, so just across the
road. Yeah. Is there anything that surprised you about putting this exhibit together?
Well, necessarily surprising, but as I'm the two artists are also Tibetan Canadian artists, and then we decided to include one work which is quite politically charged called 169. So Before I decided to include our work, I also talked with those younger students, how they felt about having the work to be part of the same exhibition they're working on. They all went like, they are very actively involved with the Free Tibet movement, so they are quite happy that I included the work as well.
Is there anything, I mean, if I don't ask you to pick a favorite or anything, but is there anything that you think really stands out about the exhibition?
Yeah, it's always a tricky situation, right? Everything is great, but because it's a great opportunity for us to showcase Tibetan collection from the museum, because most of people think our museum as a place for Canada's First Nation collection. That's what we are known for. But little known fact is that Asian collection is the largest collection at this museum. Not many people actually know that, right? 40% of our collection is actually Asian. But we are given a tiny space within the permanent galleries to showcase this diverse collection. So that doing exhibition like this gives us opportunity to actually showcase which Asian collection we have at this museum.
And what do you hope that people who come to see the exhibition will take away from it?
So first of all, of course, I like them to learn about rich cultural heritage Tibet has, despite the challenges Tibetans have faced politically. But at the same time, I like them to also learn about what they are going through, given the political complex political situation. So it's not just focusing on past, but the present as well.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Dr. Fuyubi Nakamura, the curator Asia at the Museum of Anthropology and curator of the new exhibit, Entangled Territories, Tibet Through Images, which opens today, is now open at the Museum of Anthropology at UBC and runs until March 29th of next year. I really, really strongly recommend you go see it. I recommend you go to the Museum of Anthropology for any reason, but this exhibit in particular has lots of really, really interesting and moving and moving stuff. There are two short films. One is animated and one is built from archival footage and archival research with a voiceover. And so you get to see all sorts of cool old pictures and letters and film clips and stuff narrated by the person who's doing this deep dive. So it's almost like you're in a first person archiving session, which is kind of cool. Anyway, check that out at the Museum of Anthropology, Entangled Territories. Okay, we'll be right back with more talking, but for now, here's music. This is You and I by Yon.
You and I, you and I. with you and I, you and all the part of you too tragic. And what you don't know, and what you can't say, sometimes the words they slip away. And when you don't reach, and when you can't write, a silence booms that you never recognize. And what you don't know, and what you can't say, it leaves you searching always, always for something real, for something to hold. But you're on the edge and you have to let go. Across a canyon, you meet his eyes and you both the same, your silent goodbyes. You turn around and you're all alone, just filled up with tangles and no place to go.
You and I by Jan, Tangled in Each Other. Entangled Origins at the Museum of Anthropology on Now. Go check it out. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. And the next piece I'm going to play for you is by our community journalist, Danny Nesvedarani. A really interesting interview with the person behind Failures Wanted, which is a museum of failure, which if you tuned in to Danny's Fun Drive episode of Analog Archives, he did a failure compilation. He took all the moments of technical hiccups that he's had during the first 6 months or so of his program, and he put them on display for you, and it was hilarious. I was listening at home, and I laughed, and I laughed, and I laughed. I loved it. And then we came across, I've seen posters all across East Vancouver at the very least, postings on Facebook Marketplace and all sorts of stuff that someone is looking for examples of failure because, well, let's find out. Here is that piece from Danny right now.
Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. Around the city of Vancouver, mysterious posters have been popping up on everything from street posts to back alley dumpsters, all with the same peculiar message: failures wanted. Upon closer look, the poster is asking for submissions to something called the Museum of Personal Failure, which aims to showcase artifacts of people's failures, anything from job rejection letters to abandoned art projects. Other than an email on the poster, there was no other information to go off of, so CJSF reached out and asked if the person responsible for these posters would be willing to talk. His name is Avon Collins, and he agreed to speak with us about his project, the Museum of Personal Failure. Interestingly enough, our initial attempt for the interview was over a Zoom call, and ended up becoming its own sort of failure. Hello? I can't really hear you on my end. There's like a weird distortion, kind of like drilling noise. Yeah. Thankfully, we were able to reschedule and met in person later that day. During our interview, Colin speaks on what inspired him to create the Museum of Personal Failure, when it will launch, and some of the great failures he's been receiving as submissions as of late. Please take a listen.
This one is, yeah, just basically, it's a catharsis project. I had a big failure recently, or sort of what I thought was a big failure, and was wanting a bit of like a reminder that it's a universal experience, and so decided to start making posters to soothe my dramatic flair and, you know, individual crisis.
Yeah, and the posters, like, in very big letters say, like, failures wanted.
Mm-hmm.
and have a little bit of information regarding like what is going to be happening with these failures. But if is that something you're able to go into? Just like if people are sending you these moments of failure within their lives, whether it's like a job rejection or something else just going wrong that's been documented, where is that going to go?
It's going to be a real museum.
Okay.
I'm making a real museum. It's going to be temporary, just a couple week installation, but I have a line on a space that I have reserved, and yeah, it's going to be a display of sorts that people can come and visit. It'll be free to the public, and I won't say where it will be just yet, but it will be a tangible museum as close as I can create it.
Why are documenting the failures of not just yourself but others, why is that something that's important to you? What drew you to this specifically?
I think that when we fail, or like when we try to do something, it kind of ends up feeling like a very singular experience, you know? Like we feel it's because it's so like shrouded from the public eye, we hide the things that we don't want others to see about our lives and attempts. It's especially like, I don't know, in the social link, the public image, it's not evident always how many things people are doing that don't quite make it. And I think for me, at least, I want to remember that other people are doing that. And I think I sort of yearn for it to be visible in a way, you know, feel more whole, feel more like that this is a part of like the human experience that is not just private shame.
Have you been receiving submissions for it so far?
Yeah, actually a surprising amount. It's been really fun. Lots of rejection letters. People get rejected a lot. Mm-hmm. And like the funny part about that is like lots of people point out the specific language that gets used. Like, it's always, like, sort of softened in this funny way that ends up being sort of, like, almost humorous, you know? Like, it's always like, unfortunately, we won't be able to take you. And people are like, just say it. Just, like, tell me no. Just tell me I'm not good enough, you know? Like, yeah, so lots of rejection letters, lots of art. Artists are excited to show what didn't work, I think. And yeah, it's, I think, also an important part of like the people's process as well, to be like, I tried something and it didn't work, and maybe to have a space for that seems exciting.